Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to the Ryback Show. I am your host, the big guy, Ryback. Happy Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen. We are streaming live on TikTok and Instagram, the big guy, Ryback22. Thank you to all my loyal followers on those platforms joining the live stream over here, which actually I just realized we are not live on TikTok. I did not hit the button in time. So we're going to have to go back and revisit that one shortly. We are live here on YouTube at Ryback TV, Twitch at Ryback Rules, at X Twitter, at Ryback, X Spaces, Twitter Spaces, at Ryback, the People's Podcast, guys, to call in live here, be part of this show, the People's Podcast, health, fitness, supplementation, sports, pro wrestling, and anything and everything in between. Welcome my TikTok viewers on the live stream here. We got it started a second too late. My old sausage fingers didn't hit the button correctly on that. Botch! This show's brought to you by Feed Me More Nutrition, my premium supplement line, sweetened with stevia and monk fruit. No harmful artificial sweeteners or colors for all people, men and women, he, she, and thee. FeedMeMore.com. Save 15% by signing up for my massive savings email and text message program on the menu bar on the homepage of FeedMeMore.com. Just click on it, scroll down to newsletter, text message. Sign up for each guy's one message, one email that went out today, one text message on Thursdays with a huge savings, guys, with that. And on top of that, you get 15% off on the order immediately if you just want to put an order in right away. And you get a free Feed Me More Nutrition shaker bottle and 30-serving tub of my Finish It BCAA Electrolyte Matrix in the raspberry lemonade flavor, a $65 value, yours free. This show is available on all podcast platforms. If you can't catch us live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., we always go live here in between 9 and 10 at 10 a.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday, guys. You can listen to the audio on the podcast platforms that goes out shortly after the live version. If you can't join in for the show, you can still listen in later. You can always watch on Ryback TV on YouTube. But we give you plenty of options to watch or listen to the Ryback Show. All righty then. Let's get going today. What do we got going on? Oh, man, we're going to get Shawnee in here right away. Shawnee missed out on a very exciting day. We'll go over. We have some. I saw there's some late, some breaking wrestling news, as you guys may have saw. We'll get Shawnee on. Shawnee is well aware of all this going on as well. And we'll see what's going on with the big sausage. We'll take some calls with him. So hang in there, guys. We won't let Shawnee hug all the time.
Big Sachito. What's going on, big guy?
Oh, brother, great day, and a good mood.
I'm so mad, bro. I fell asleep because I was up all night the night before. So I passed out at like 8 o'clock and I didn't wake up until this morning.
You needed it though with all the.
I literally woke up like my wife let the dogs out last night and everything. Like,
who let the dogs out?
My wife. Oh. Who let the dogs out?
I've wanted to say that my whole life.
You've been waiting for this moment.
I was not letting that. I was hoping you didn't catch it for a minute. I mean, see how many times I could say.
Do you know they made a remix when the Mets made it to the World Series? They made a Mets remix to that song.
Really?
Yep. Yep. That was the year it got big. It was like 2000.
Yeah, did the Mets the team that have the guy that plays the instrument that for the
the Timmy the Trumpet. Yeah.
Is he still doing that?
No, he just did that. He's a Mets fan apparently, but he doesn't do that all games. They brought him in because the closer, he has his music when he comes in, mm-hmm, or whatever. So they brought him to the games to do it live to hype the fans up.
Is that relief pitcher? Is he still with the Mets or no?
Yeah, he's actually like one of the best relief pitchers in the game.
Yeah, that's weird.
In the World Baseball Classic, he blew out his arm.
Oh, man.
Or his leg. I forgot which one. I think it's leg. I think it's his ACL.
But that trumpet player, I saw him on the TV when it was like on ESPN. I go, oh, man, that's pretty badass.
Yeah, his name is Eduardo Diaz. Something Diaz. I forgot the first name. I don't know why I'm tripping, but so big guy, what happened at this live last night?
Oh, I mean, okay, we're gonna jump into this. First thing first, though, let's go ahead and quickly cover real quick. Mark for Life broke on TikTok for everybody. Breaking news: Randy Orton, and I learned this from Mark. He's ahead of the game at BleacherBumps.com with it. Mark had somehow obtained Randy Orton's specific flight information from St. Louis to Orlando, as well as his hotel, and has been camping out over there for the past few days. See YouTube, are we back? We are back. Sorry for the technical difficulties. It kicked me off, guys. We had a quick blackout. Mark for Life must not have wanted me to be revealing this. So as I was saying, Mark was able to go down to Orlando and got a very exclusive, intimate footage of Randy Orton going into the PC Center, WWE PC Center, for training. So it looks like a return is on the horizon here for the Viper. Mr.
Mark
RKO
was even hiding behind a bush.
He was hiding behind the bushes. There were a few other marks ahead of him. He didn't want. He's very secretive with his identity. He doesn't like. He's a little self conscious. He knows he has the drug and drinking problem. So,
can someone that's listening, can you take the TikTok that big guy that Mark posted today and put it in the show comments so everybody can watch it later?
I might actually I'll put it on mine. I'll actually do it right now, so I'll get the credit on the views in here at least. Let me, because sometimes what they do, I always notice too, when other people post my videos off of there on there, and they do great on TikTok or on Twitter, but if I post it, it doesn't. But
I see what you're saying.
But I'll still post it in here just because I'd rather post it than I think I had
this
the
way
whole.
Everybody knows what to look for when they're looking for it, you know.
I'm going to have, I don't know if I could actually, let me see if I can quote tweet you. And
so I woke up to a message from John Pena today, and he wrote, bro, that was the craziest TikTok stream I've ever seen in my life.
I did two of them, and I did one in the afternoon and one at night. And brother, First, before we get to this, we're going to get to this stream because I'm going to be.
Yeah, go ahead.
I also, right before I got on here, because I saw your tweet at Top Dollar. Top Dollar.
Oh, yes.
What's
yes.
the situation with, I saw the comment, like, is he mad? Like, I guess they're saying dirt.
Top Dollar, somebody wrote, like, what's an opinion that you have that's, like, not, you know, that's, like, I guess, not, like, a favorable or something? And he wrote back that dirt sheets say that I'm hard to work with, but that couldn't be more true. And no one has ever said that to me. So then I commented like the Ryback, Ryback has literally been saying this for years.
Yeah. I noticed though, he put a thing in there, but he mentioned because he was black. And I think that, and I wish I could just tell him, brother, then call me Rye Black, because I've been getting it for the last 7.5 years. If we're going to put race into this. Not to say that it can't be, but these people don't discriminate on that. They just go for
they don't care about color.
Ride back, ride black, top dollar, bottom dollar. They don't give a damn. They're going to be, it comes from typically, I could tell you something in the company because they have Michael Cole. Vince will have them ripped on commentary sometimes. That's coming from Vince. So that is that when Vince has that, whatever something's going on between them, then they leak that stuff out, and then it just starts. Once it goes out once, then all the marks, it gets regurgitated on it. So them putting something out, whether it's true, not true, and then it just gets stretched out forever. Like, it's going to.
Is he still in WWE?
Well, yeah, he's still in WWE.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's lost a bunch of weight, man. Big, strong guy. But, like, you know, people, once they – here's the deal, though, with all of this. This is the deal. If you're going to be a pro wrestler, and this is everybody gets trash talking about them by a different group of people. There's the people that love me might think AJ Styles is the most disgusting, vanilla, bland person in the world. And they're attacking him on Reddit. The people that love AJ think I'm the most the horrible worker and human being in the existence of the planet. Like nobody is immune to John Cena. Who right? How many haters does John Cena have? A ton it. And so everybody, it's not just one specific person. We all refer to the marks, these people, as like leeches or vultures. Literally the boys. We literally parasites. That's another common word. This is how we view that portion of people that do this with it. They're just like, they're disgusting with it. And so you just got to like, and you put the truth out there, but each one of us are going to get a certain set of things that a certain portion of marks latch onto and then regurgitate over and over for the rest of our careers. I will till the day I'll be 95 years old doing a feeding time, you know, here in Vegas with my five hot young girlfriends and Bree pissed off in the passenger seat at me with it. And there's going to be a comment about how I dropped CM Punk and missed the table. Like it's not going away. Me and Punk could be best of friends and have go film vignettes together and go do cool things and go to theme parks together and go visit different comic book stores and Starbucks together and say we have rejoiced and made peace and we are friends for life. People are still going to bring that up for the rest of our lives. I'm going to be a damn lizard in 500 years from now, a lizard. And I'm going to sneak into some Mark's house accidentally, getting away from a spider or something. And then that I'm going to hear they're going to be talking about me dropping Punk through a table and missing. And I'm just going to be like, Jesus, this is 500 years later and I'm a lizard. Like, what is going on?
And you're gonna get all your lizard buddies to go into Chase's house and infest the house.
But this is what happens. It has nothing, and I understand that something and African Americans have a different set of things sometimes with people. Like, but I, as far as wrestling is concerned,
it's not a race thing.
But even though I do understand how it might seem like that sometimes, but I can assure you. You know, I get it. We all get it.
I didn't see that part when I wrote it, but I just got the gist of it. And what he's saying is basically what you've been always going through, you know, which is not fair, in my opinion. And I think Top Dollar was great. He did the WWE, not as a wrestler. I'm going to just put that out there. I don't think that he's a good wrestler, but he hosted the WWE show with the memorabilia.
Okay.
And and he was so good. It was called like WWE, like I forgot what it was called, but he goes to like to try to get like Ric Flair's robe. Like they tried to find Ric Flair.
I know, I know the show you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah, Treasures, something.
The Hidden Treasures or something. Yes.
So he did that, and I thought he was excellent, like in that role. But I don't think wrestling is for him, in my opinion, and that's okay. That's my opinion. But like, it's not fair to say that he's not good to work with.
I bet you he's a really nice guy, and I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him to make an assumption. Like, I don't know. I'm not there. Yeah. It'd be much better. I would be able to talk to you about that much better if I was there, and I would be able to tell you like, no, he gets it, or no, I don't know if he maybe doesn't get it. I don't know that.
Understood.
But yeah. I will say to Mike, I see you on. I think that's Mike, or is that my wrestling informant? I can't tell if he switched. Mike, can you give me a thumbs up if that's Mike? Yeah, I think that is Mike, the wrestling informant. I do want to get him on.
Two people sent me, big guy, real quick. Raphael sent me a listener, and John just sent it to me. It just came out via the LA Times. Depending on the potential findings following the inquiry into Vince McMahon, McMahon could face criminal and or civil liabilities that could prevent him from serving as an officer or director of a public company.
Yeah, the FBI does not subpoena you for no reason. This is what I was telling everybody. And they got this deal done and sold it with it. And this is Mike, the wrestling informant. Mike might actually, you know what? Let's bring Mike on with you on here real quick.
Bring him on, bro.
Mike is going to have the scoop on this.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into the TikTok live stuff after. You guys don't want to miss that.
Yeah.
Mike, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. As soon as I saw that thumbs up, I go, Mike is here with a purpose today. Uh-oh. Did Elon just cut my wrestling informant off?
You guys hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now.
I hear you, Mike. Yeah.
Gotcha. So that LA Times piece is really interesting because I was listening. I think it was Sean Ross Sapp that might have said a week or two ago or hinted at the idea that Vince was getting too involved again with changing the shows before they go on the air. And he kind of, and again, it's probably just his speculation, but who knows, that somebody within the company could have maybe tipped off the feds about something and put Vince in a position where, so this is what's interesting, whether it's civil or criminal, it doesn't matter. It would still strip him of the ability to lead a publicly traded company.
Wow.
Would that then, would he be, now that they're sold and this deal's done, and now would he be essentially cut from the company with all ties to do with them? Like they wouldn't, like Endeavor, they wouldn't, it would be too risky to have him involved in creative anyway. Would he have to be clear of the company in all ways? If this
language, depending on what the language states, because I do think everybody involved in Endeavor, and you I know you're a big UFC fan like I am, right? Back, you know, these people are very smart people that purchased the company back in 2016.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's leverage in there that puts them in a position where they can remove him if there's undeniable proof that he has committed a crime. So that's why it's just interesting timing. And they claimed he had a back surgery. Do you remember?
Yes.
Remember? Okay. He was just out in public with everybody, what, a week ago?
And looked fine.
Walking around just fine. Yeah. It's just, again, we've talked about this before, but nothing would make me happier than seeing him held accountable in some way, form, or fashion, because I just feel like he's a bad guy. I respect what he's done promotionally wise. I think anybody that pays attention to this, you have to give him that. You have to give him that. But you can also say the man's amassed billions of dollars, and what does he do? As soon as another company comes along, oh, let's try and put them out of business to take food off other people's plates. Because that's what he is ultimately. That's why.
And I know what he's done with me. And I just know, I go, if that's going on with me, what other things have gone on that he's not as open about? Like, I just know.
Did you ever hear the story that Matt Hardy and Shane Helms would not say who this woman was? But Matt Hardy and Shane Helms, and they deleted this podcast, so it's not available to public. I didn't hear it at the time. I would have liked to have gone back to listen to try and figure out maybe who it was. But Matt Hardy and Shane Helms walked into Vince's office once at a TV, and Vince had one of the divas on the table fingering her. And
oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Jesus. I mean,
and they never said who it was.
Ooh.
But I mean, again, this isn't normal. Normal people don't act like this. The guy isn't normal. But
can I tell you too? Keep it on that.
Yeah.
So I was getting a massage one time at TV, and the massage room was right next to Vince's office. And those walls must have been of made of paper machete. They were the thinnest walls. I could hear Vince's entire conversation when people were coming in and out. And I was in there getting worked on for maybe like 30, 40 minutes. And Eva Marie went into Vince's office. I can't tell you. I was already at the point of like, with everything going on, I was ready. Like I was ready I was ready. And I was just shocked. Nobody smartened Vince up, but I heard their entire conversation and nothing happened. It was a normal conversation.
Right.
But she was in there like for maybe 20 minutes and it was back and forth. She was in there kind of essentially just trying to get whatever for TV something. And talent's going there for it. But I was hoping that something was going to take a turn and have something on that.
My thing is like, even if let's say this happens, Mike, right? Let's say he gets, you know, they basically take him out of a position that he can't be in the public company. He's still going to be able to have his creative control through Triple H and Stephanie, right? So,
well, there's another rumor. I'm glad you brought up Mr. Helmsley and Mrs. McMahon. There's been a rumor now for a year that those two are secretly, if not officially, divorced, but not living together anymore.
I've no information that I've never spoke publicly about either that I know that wouldn't shock me. And I'm not going to.
Right. But as far as all that goes, the thing with Triple H, and you guys probably notice this when he does his scrums, his voice, look, the man had a heart attack. Thank God he's okay. He's a father. Thank God he's okay.
Wait a second. But, so Stephanie's on the market then potentially. Just okay.
That's been the rumor for a while this is the thing with the wrestling media, right? I don't know if anyone's actually really dug into that and how you would dug in. I'm sure there's a way. But
love Stephanie so much.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even
She's my favorite
see her
McMahon.
Get hurt. I don't want to see her get hurt like that. I hope it's not true, you know? Like,
well, again, you know, he has the I don't know. He has the heart attack and you have to wonder about other things. Just, you know what I mean? Like other things.
There's so much involved in that family.
Yeah.
And Shane, you could just tell Shane, I bet you he loves his family. But
Shane's great
like,
too.
Shane seems like the most normal besides Stephanie out of all of them. You know, and he stayed away from the company for years. And he came back.
He tried to start a business in China.
He was the one that told Vince back in the day to buy UFC.
Yeah,
that's right.
And they laughed at him. And look at now. Now
he was ahead of the curve. He actually would have been very instrumental in all. He
would have been huge.
He has great business instincts. Clearly,
did you guys hear what he would have done if he was running the relaunch DCW? It's pretty brilliant. Did you guys hear?
No.
No. What was it?
He was going to try and keep it away from the corporate umbrella by making it an online only product. And if you did that, and look, I think all of us that have a brain did not think that Tommy Dreamer was going to be pile driving Francine through a table on WWE TV or Women Bleeding. I think what a lot of us wanted, call us crazy, we wanted a pretty straight wrestling show away from the more entertainment driven Raw and SmackDown.
But at that time, Mike, it wasn't crazy to think that because that's what wrestling was.
Yeah. And Shane's idea, had he gotten his way, it probably would have been a much different product. Instead, we got the Sandman coming out and hitting a zombie. We had a battle royal. And then I attended a SmackDown in Boston that also taped ECW. And we had a match with CM Punk and Hardcore Holly. And this is really interesting. A match in ECW, quote unquote, ending in a disqualification due to a closed fist. It's just so insulting. But again, that they bought the property. They own the IP.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to ask you, Ryback, because you would probably have a better idea about this than I would. And usually when this happens, it's a precursor to the talent letting his contract expire. But the latest on Edge, I want to say last week, pretty sure it was last week or the week before, he was internally moved from the physically performing list to a miscellaneous list where, by all accounts, they're simply letting his contract expire.
Yeah.
And he's been honest about his expiration, which runs through probably next week. So I wanted to ask you, does that sound right to you that, okay, you're under contract, his deal's very unique, it's a quota of dates for matches and appearances, and we're moving you internally to this list to let you expire. Does that sound normal to you?
Yeah. So what they will do is they'll take you, because they have the sheet of like the top baby faces, top heels. And I've seen this in where it's essentially for everybody in the company, from writers to producers, in the production meetings and creative meetings, and Vince down. They have their run sheets of the for each Raw and SmackDown, top baby faces, top heels, injured reserve, people that are injured but still, you know, not out for a foreseeable amount of time with it. And then but if you get removed off of that, then either it is a long-term injury where you're not going to be involved in creative for a significant period of time, or your contract's expiring, or some medical something where you're gone, or where they do not foresee you being involved in the creative moving forward.
Okay, that makes sense. And yeah. This is lining up pretty nicely. So I mean, again, I don't think they'll debut him. There's an AEW pay-per-view, I want to say a week from Saturday, which by all accounts Edge would be legally available to appear on, but I gotta think they debut him on TV. You know, and it's a shame he's not available tonight. I think Mercedes is showing up tonight. Yeah, I think she's going to show up after Saraya retains her title, and then they'll build to a match with those two. But by all accounts, and I don't know if you saw Jericho's comments, either one of you, yesterday.
No.
Jericho sounded very informed with what he said about Edge, and what he said that stood out to me was, it's good to shock people.
Yeah.
And if you read Wade's first report, it does sound like Edge reached out to Jericho to see what he was making in AEW. And whether or not Jericho told Wade, or whether someone Jericho talked to told Wade about this conversation, that seems like how that all got out. But it just does seem like for a long time now, and this is what I'd love to know, because I love this stuff. I love this part of the industry. I'd love to know when Edge presented his terms to WWE to retain him, if he purposely listed something like, let's just say, I want to have less involvement with the writers. Now, he's allowed to write down his promos and get them cleared. But yeah. He can't just go out to the ring and riff and do what he wants.
Yeah.
And I would think a creative guy like him at this stage feels like he should be trusted to be able to just, because I can't imagine he likes memorizing stuff when he wants to probably play with the crowd.
Yeah.
I'd like to know if he presented them something other than a financial offer where he knew they'd say no, because this whole thing sounds like the retirement thing sounds like I'm putting that out there to surprise people, but then his business got leaked.
Yeah.
And when he made that video, if you listen to the very end of the video, he says, whatever I'm doing, just know I'm having fun.
Yeah.
WWE, nobody ever says fun with WWE right
now. They don't. And it's true. Yeah. And it is, you know, too. Also, I think with him, whatever happened with the Judgment Day, when creatively, like, especially when you're there and have the experience and the track record that he has, and they play games with you, it gets really, there's nothing more insulting to a talent. With that, and I have a feeling he probably took that pretty personal with it. But you realize they do it to everybody. Nobody's immune to it. From Austin to The Rock down, nobody's immune to it. So I think he let everything. He did his business. He stayed professional, and I think he's moving on to a new chapter. And not to say that he can't have a company. He'll stay on. He's professional. He's not going to badmouth WWE. No. They've given him the world.
Yeah.
But he's going to go on. I'm really excited. Guys like that too, that creatively, he can really be beneficial to them. Because, you know, like usually in AEW, Jericho's always involved in some sort of storyline. Christian, you can see he's doing great work and involved creatively. This is what AEW needs, is creative help over there with it. And that can trickle down. This is where this is going to be really, really beneficial. It's like, but if you can debut all the talent in the world, if you don't have the storytelling in there with it and the other aspects that these guys can go over and help them with, nobody's going to know better than Jericho, Edge. These are the little tricks that Vince and WWE does that help, you know, get talent over. Like, and you pass that on to the production people, or you get another guy they have another production person in WWE's contract ends, they can help get them over in AEW. Like, you need these certain pieces because Vince and them have a very good understanding of how to make this all work with it. Not to say that you're not putting all WWE guys in, but you're getting select pieces to help the product overall. And Edge is going to be a big piece in that.
Imagine Edge comes back and they have the trio belts, you know, with the three people, and they bring Cardona and Myers in as the Edge heads.
Yeah, bro, you never know. I mean, there's always there's endless possibilities with it, but it's we're entering a very interesting time period with everything. This Vince stuff, and I told the people this with Vince, and, like, you know, that for me, And not to say that, because, you know, Hayes is still going to be there. And even though he's not, Vince.
Did you ever hear what Mass just said about Michael Hayes, by the way, a couple of years ago?
No. What was that?
Well, you're not going to be surprised by that, I'm sure. But Chris Masters said basically, actually not basically, no, he outright said it. I don't want to even give him an out here. But he said some of the divas would perform favors for the fabulous Freebird for better creative.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Not surprised at all. Not surprised at all.
No, but everyone, I mean, this is, there's so many things. And we all know that we hear.
I can hear it in your voice.
And there's certain things that I won't even say because I hold on to things. I don't want to put everything.
It's no reason to. Right.
Yeah. And, if Vince is gone from WWE, if this goes through, and like, cause I have a feeling he's going to be gone because I just know, and I just know that there's stuff that's going to be found for on top of like, I just know the mindset, and I just know that he's always thought he was above everything. And if he is gone and cut from WWE entirely, I will say, I do think that increases my odds of at least having a more positive conversation with that organization at some point. There's still other factors in there that would have to be squared away. But if he leaves, because I have a big issue with just him as a human being on that. Yeah. And that's where I never wanted to be. But if he got cut away and certain things got cleaned up, and essentially it would be almost kind of like a new position head in that were a different culture. Somebody, you know, like Nick Khan, I've heard great things about Nick, but I still don't know because I've never met him. But people that I trust that have talked to him have put him over huge. With that, so it's like
he knows how to deal with people.
He's a better person. He knows how to deal with people better. He's a more positive person. So I'm like that. So I go, that's interesting with this, how this is all timing out. But the Hunter Stephanie stuff is like, I didn't know that they were possibly not living together or divorced. I didn't know that, or if that is a real thing with it. But
yeah,
Mike, where did you hear this?
It's been okay. So there's somebody. There's somebody I follow on Twitter. I want to say it's SODT something. I can maybe DM it to you guys if you want. But he does hear things occasionally. He heard before Malakai Black debuted in AEW that AEW was working to see if he was on a 90 or 30 day because, I don't know if you guys remember this, but they fired Canyon Seaman, who was the head of NXT talent relations,
yep.
In large part because of the Adam Cole debacle, which good for Adam Cole, bad for WWE, that they screwed up the length of his deal. But they also screwed up when Malakai Black went from NXT to the main roster. They're supposed to apply a 90 day in the event that he gets fired, and they only had him on a 30 day. So he got let go. He could show up on AEW, and he did a lot sooner. So this guy had that information. So he does hear things. So he's heard, he started saying this last year that those two either are divorced or not living together. Now, if you guys remember, Vince and Linda are not technically divorced, but they live in two different.
They haven't lived together in years, apparently.
Right.
Yeah.
So it could be as simple as they're not together. But they're not divorcing because of maybe financial reasons, right? Maybe they didn't.
That or even publicly, because that would then be public knowledge if that goes through, right? Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, and you would think so. You would, because that's the thing with wrestling reporters right now, right? They get a lot of, like, and I'm so glad that Mark for Life has turned up from Latin America.
He's the people's dirt sheet journalist. He's,
he does so much for us, and I know he gets frustrated to get the credit he should. But yeah, these reporters, and I've told you before, like, there's one website that that has an in with the travel department. That's how Edge going to Pittsburgh for medical testing.
They're such scum people. It's just
I can imagine how mad he was because he's thinking, how the fuck did the people know I'm in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
What they'll do now is they'll say spotted in the area because they don't want to out that we have WWE's travel department list. We have it. So we know where these guys are flying to on WWE time, right? But I was going to say, too, I watched a match with Edge from 2 years ago with Roman, and I paid a little more close attention. He is structuring, even then, he is structuring matches in a way where he takes as few, and by the way, God bless him, he takes as few bumps as humanly possible. If you really look closely, and I'm just glad, and I know you guys will agree because you guys are sane people, but this guy, all the chair shots, falling off ladders, doing just any, God bless him for getting paid. Because another company came along, because he's made, right now he's made at least $12 million since coming back to WWE.
He's had one of the most successful careers.
Yeah.
Overall.
That's insane.
Yeah, I would. If you were to look at from the start, even being gone for the length of period he was, but from start to finish, he's probably made one of the highest paid wrestlers of all time overall.
Yeah, and look, if he didn't have the leverage, the only reason, because look, they don't want to clear anybody that could have a broken neck in their ring. Yeah. I mean, let's just be real. They only cleared Danielson back when they did because he was going to go to New Japan and they couldn't hold him any longer. If you guys remember this, he wanted to go get a college degree. He wanted out of his contract. They would not let him out of his contract. So the only way they would let him out of his contract is if he appeared as a character on the TV show every week. And he said, being near the ring, watching everyone, knowing he wasn't allowed medically to do it, broke his heart. And yeah, that's the kind of thing where, I'm sure the guy feels
the same way. You know, yeah, he says the same thing. That's why he's been out.
The Labor Department should look into some of these things in the sense that, look, if the WWE books a building now, they have it with the building that another company cannot appear in that building for X yeah amount of days. They can't even promote it. That's not legal.
No.
Like, the Labor Department should be looking into some of these things. And I'm always...
There's a lot, brother. There's a lot. Yeah. They've gotten away with murder.
Getting paid $10.99 and calling them subcontractors.
Independent contractors.
Absolutely right. Not.
This is the other thing where I think changes. And I think this is all going to be... when Vince is going to be cut free from all this eventually here. And things are going to have to change. But it's very interesting times in pro wrestling right now. That much is for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to see how the contracts, like Drew McIntyre, for example, he is no closer to a new deal.
No.
And the weird thing with him is, and it came out, they did add injury time. He's got a really bad neck, and he at any time could say to them, I want to have neck surgery, and they'd have to pay for neck surgery. The only thing for him is they'd further extend his contract, and he wouldn't be able to go negotiate with anyone else. That's the weird thing with them on his situation, because you would think if you've got someone under contract that at any time could need a neck surgery, why not either work on a release for them or let them just expire on their deal, maybe sit out. That's what's weird with, because they must see him as enough of a commodity that they want to control him a little bit longer.
Yeah. Well, what you can do is, like, and this is what I did when I left, and I knew when I got my ear and nose fixed, I started publicly speaking right away. If you start publicly speaking out, there's a good chance they won't extend. But also there is the possibility too, now that AEW exists, that they still would out of spite, because things are a little different than when I was there. But like, that is a way though, if talent starts speaking out, but again, that can go work against you in times too, depending on how you do it with it. But like, if you do get, they with AEW existing, they probably would tack, if he got his neck fixed, they would tack it on, I think, just to keep him out, you know, under contract and quiet as long as possible. So.
Yeah, and I mean, he's been resisting a heel turn because he likes doing the charity work with the kids. Yeah. But too, let's be real. They don't want less merchandise on their T-shirts. Let's be real about that. Whenever Cena would say, I don't really want to do it. Like, again, he's making millions of dollars off T-shirts. He doesn't want fans not to buy his merchandise. Same with, I mean, even when Austin turned heel, people were still buying his merchandise.
Yeah.
Cause, like, nobody was going to turn against him no matter what they tried to do. But the fact that they're turning him and he's up in March, it says to me, I mean, at this point, I don't know if he's changed his mind, because I think he wants to stay and he should, because I don't know. I mentioned this before. I don't know what his mindset is, if he just wants to work once a week and make the money he wants or close to it, or if he wants to be the guy. I don't know exactly what his mindset is. But look, you're trying to run Wembley next August. You want to, if you can't sell that thing out, you want to get to at least 60,000.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre being on that card, being from that area,
helps.
I mean, it makes too much sense, right?
But they will. Yeah. What they will do, and we talked about this with him, is if the longer the contract goes without getting signed, he's going to continue to get demoted on TV in increments.
Right.
And this is what they did, and they did it with me before I left, and they will just slowly, like, you're booking, like, they just remind you, like, this can get really bad really quickly, and what that can work two ways. You either talents are either set, they go, look, I'm just willing to, I'll just ride this out, and you could do whatever. The problem is his value is very high. It has gone down a bit with it, even though it's still really high with it. But they can really, and we saw it, like, you know, with Ambrose when he was going to leave, like, and had him lose to EC3 there, where, like,
they wanted Nia Jax to beat him on TV.
Yeah, and they would have done much worse. I think Hunter always was good for protecting the Shield, and probably played a big part in him not getting totally buried on his way out. But like it is.
Well, if you remember, and I want you, if you guys ever have time, go find this video. So the day before his contract was up, I don't know if you remember, they did a house show the Shield did a house show, and Moxley said that it was the worst payoff he ever got because they were upset he was leaving. But Michael Cole tried to get him dead to rights on if he was going to go to another company, because at the time he had an arm injury where he was out at least 5 or 6 months. They didn't tack on the injury time because they bought into the idea he was going to go sit at home for a year and just get away from everything.
Yeah.
And he was just waiting to get out of his deal to go join AEW. And so Michael Cole says to him, what are you doing? He gets right up and he says, I know what you guys are trying to do, and walks right away. And you knew it right then and there. And before midnight struck, Vince sent him a text saying, can you do the European tour? And he just looks at the text, he's looking at the clock, and as soon as it says midnight, he knew he was free.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It's crazy. But as far as he goes, as soon as Roman Reigns got cancer, like, they turn him heel that same night, which, again, some people thought that wasn't ethical, whatever, it's the wrestling business, whatever. But the way they booked him was so bad, and he said he would go to the building having anxiety because he was terrified what they were going to have him say on TV to make him look like an idiot.
We all go through this. This is what I even put out the video on my TikTok the day, and I told you on the Elimination Chamber 2013 in New Orleans, Cena was supposed to go over on the Shield with it. And I went into the locker room and they were bummed sitting there. They knew this was it, the Cena problem was going to take effect and I say that with, like, if you get into a program with Cena, he's coming out on top.
He's going to win most of the time.
Yeah. And they'd been protected up to that point and I played a role into a degree with that with them, but I already knew the issues I had going on with Cena, and that I literally told them, I go, you guys need to go talk to Vince and get the finish change with it. Because we had our storyline ongoing with me and them, which I didn't know that was never going to not get paid off. And they've always done great business. Whenever they'd asked them to put me over later on, they never had an issue with it because always did good business. But that night, Cena was originally going to go over. If we did not have that conversation, they went and talked to Vince. But so everybody deals, like, even if people you think are, like, immune to the politics, it is going on every single day. It's such a stressful life, Mike. Like, it is a shark tank of, like, any day could be just, like, where your career can go great or it can turn south really quickly.
Matt Hardy told a story in his podcast when Austin turned heel, nobody wanted to boo him naturally. Yeah. He was the most popular guy. So they did a match on Raw from Boston where it's the Hardys and Lita versus Austin, Triple H, Stephanie. So long story short, Matt Hardy said Austin was very willing to go out of his way to make him look good and always gave him advice. And on the day of, Austin came up to Matt Hardy and said that every time Austin was giving Matt and Jeff more offense, Triple H was going in and trying to get everything changed, which is crazy.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest thing, brother, in the world.
This is what goes on. This is what I've tried to tell people, why I'm not upset to be away from that. The day-to-day BS in politics.
I don't blame, but I got to ask you this before I forget, because I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't, because the way he was fired with cause, the idea that if this guy has a blow up backstage, you're risking production people suing. I cannot for the life of me. And again, it's a business. Ultimately, if they think he can help their business, they'll bring in anybody. And maybe they think that their structure at this stage can massage whatever problems this gentleman has. But I can't see CM Punk going back, just because I can't see them bringing him in when he has problems with literally everybody.
Yeah.
But what do you think at this point? Do you think?
I think if he goes to a WWE paid psychologist for mental rehab for like 6 months and he passes and he shows that he has learned from his mistakes and that he can somehow fix his childhood traumas and somehow realize that he could just be a spoke on the wheel and help the better be a part of the betterment of pro wrestling rather than having to be it all about the Fragile Phil show. Then I don't see that. He's 40 something years old. Like
45.
He's not going to just all of a sudden wake up and be like, he's not going to be like, oh, I've been the problem.
If he passes, you know he cheated after that
UFC stuff, and he got completely destroyed and his power was stripped of him with all of that. And they gave him his power back in AEW. You would think that is the time that you're going to be so humble and grateful that your life is back on track and that everything that you took that chance and failed at and great. Right. But like you're back in the position you are. Instead though, he went into that fragile Phil psychotic mode again. And like, here we are. Now, but like
most people cheating on like a piss test, he would cheat on like a psychologist.
He would do his best. He would say all the right things, and he was like, I feel that I have been. What's the word that when you're in prison?
Pathological.
No, but like when they say like you've been not redeemed, but like it was in Shawshank. I thought where the guys where they asked, do you feel that you are healed or that you are better? Yeah, he would say something where he feels that he is cured and he is of the right mind, like, and he would give all the right answers. They would show him all the paintings of what he sees. He would give all very, very good answers on all of it. And they'd be like, this guy, he could be a normal functioning part of society with it. And the moment you get him back, and the moment he's something, you think he's going to come back and just put over Roman? Maybe he would do it once. But the moment he gets a win on TV again over somebody, he's going to go right into that superego position, like, and try to fight like one of the luchadors or something and try to feel like a tough guy.
One last thing I wanted to ask you. Did you hear, and this is an incredible story if it's true, did you hear that Cody Rhodes was trying to purchase Ring of Honor under an anonymous name?
I did not know that.
So the rumor was Tony was trying to buy it, and ultimately we all know he purchased it. It was Tony, Vince, the head of Impact, and Cody Rhodes that were all trying to purchase Ring of Honor.
Interesting.
And so one of the theories out there is if Cody purchased it, is he purchasing it because he wants the all-in IP that him and his friends helped put on, or was he trying to purchase it and run it as his own promotion after he had a falling out with Tony?
Or even knowing him, purchase it and resell it at a higher price to WWE. Yeah. Which
he's a smart guy.
He is. He did it with the trademark. He could have very well have just seen that and get it in the library and turn around and sell it for a profit, quite frankly.
Yeah, I don't think Cody was trying to run it, if you want my honest opinion. Right. I think that, I think that he probably was just trying to buy it to maybe just save face, like for the company, I don't think that he would buy it just to run it, especially knowing that he was going back to WWE. It just wouldn't make any sense, right?
Like, but what if this was the personal, again, Ryback and I have talked about this before, about the Brandy part of it, but what if this was one of the alleged personal issues that Tony bought this and Cody thought he was going to get it, right?
Maybe, yeah, right? It's possible.
Yeah.
Because that whole thing, whatever happened at the end, because remember, Tony had an option, like in the NFL or Major League Baseball, you have an option on a player that you can pick up. It's very new to wrestling since Tony got it. I don't think WWE's ever done the option-style contract, but Tony allowed him to become a free agent, and he knew he was going to lose him as soon as he did that. I mean, let's be clear. That was the biggest political chess move you could make, taking one of their guys and bringing him in and pushing him and presenting him in the way that they did, because it shows everyone else, oh, if you come over here, yes, we have a bigger schedule, but we're going to treat you like a bigger star on a bigger stage, right? So that was all good business there. But I mean, if he tried to buy that, and I'd love to know if he gets asked and he's honest about it, what were his intentions with purchasing that property? It's a hell of a story.
He would never tell us. Yeah. Never.
He probably would never not, because he lost out on buying it. Probably not. But
as much as I like Cody, he is all about saving face.
Like, yeah. He's not going to talk like
I talk. He would never, ever talk like that. He just, even in his interviews, you could just tell he says,
I call it fake, just so we know. I call it fake. And I love it, but it's fake. Yeah. It's not being real. It's political. And I love him, but it's being fake. What I see here with Phil, though, I want to just throw this out there. I don't see him going back to wrestling, but what I do foresee in the future is Netflix Wrestler Season 2. It's a remake. It's a remake of the movie What About Bob with Bill Murray. But what about Phil? Where would they hire a psychologist and walk around with him and try to teach him baby steps on changing his life for the better to hopefully, redeem himself to be able to go back to the world of pro wrestling? A 90-minute documentary of Phil and his psychological issues dating back to his childhood.
He's been acting in Heels. He's in the show Heels a lot. him and AJ Lee are both in the show. So you might not be far wrong from that, big guy.
No, I'm
he
not.
Might, he might become an actor.
He'll probably take my season. Wrestler Season 2, The Return of Ryback, is going to be replaced with What About Phil?
I'll never forget when he left WWE Ryback. You tweeted at Ziggler that I want to get the Pepsi plunge or the knee bulldog in the corner.
The big guy Muay Thai running knee. Yeah, that was so funny. I got messages from everybody in the company popping at it. That was me. Just, I was like, I didn't care. I was already so everything. I was like, I'm going to go ahead and say what I like. Cause I was always told not to say anything on certain things.
Say anything. Yep. Yep.
And I was,
I want to ask you this. I also want to be respectful of your privacy, your friends with him. I don't want to ask you for information that isn't mine to have, but did you see Dolph's brother's post yesterday?
No.
Okay. So he posted a photo of him and Dolph holding the AEW tag titles.
Oh, wow.
And being time is running out potentially on Dolph's deal. Now, I think everybody that's ever seen Dolph Ziggler, and I'll tell you guys a quick story. When I went to Providence, Rhode Island years ago for Backlash, Dolph, I think at the time, was involved with Chavo Guerrero when he was with Kerwin White, when he was pretty sure. So the people were filing in, and Dolph's in a dark match with maybe 50 people already seated, and he's bumping his ass off. He's working his ass off. He was just waiting for anybody backstage to notice him. And I always thought, because Vince had always told people, no matter what, we're not pushing him. The guy is an incredible wrestler. He could have been one of their biggest stars. I think everyone that's ever seen him wrestle a few times and talk, whatever, the guy is great. But with that said, to be fair, and it is what it is, I always tell people, I think Dolph should have followed the Cody Rhodes path, which is, okay, they're treating me like an asshole. So guess what? I'm going to go out to the Indies. I'm going to go wherever I have to go. And I'm going to raise my value and come back where I feel like I should be financially and in a position of the company. Right. And look, he's made a lot of money, and I am not criticizing him for that. It's a business. He's made a lot of money.
Yeah.
But if you were to bring him into AEW, I don't know. I'm trying to word this because I have so much respect for him, but I don't know where he'd want to be slotted. But if you could bring him in a tag spot, a TNT title spot, something like that, I mean, I think that's a no-brainer. You know what I mean? I think that would be great.
Well, I think he could, you know, he's been with WWE from the very beginning of his career. And he's had a great run overall in the amount of money that he's made. And it's physical acting. And I think he understands that. And from when I talk to him, we're of the same mindset in a lot of things. But I do know that there's been multiple opportunities with him for them to do bigger things with him. And that is, you're very spot on with the Vince assessment of him. And it is what he's well-liked by everybody. He's respected by everybody. He's a great person. He would be great in the top position.
It makes no sense. And it was said that his biggest criticism from Vince or management, however you want to parse it, is because he wants to bump too much and be like Shawn Michaels. What kind of a criticism is that? He wants to give you the best performance.
But the thing is he know. But that's how they're using it. If he's used he knows he's smart enough to adjust his work if he's being used in a different position with that as well. So he's going out there. He's typically used. He knows how to get other guys over with it, which can work against you at times too. But I think as far as you said with AEW, I think he'd be really good in a backstage role as well. With that, as well as I think having a tag run with his brother, that might be something he wants to do. And then, but just being involved and being backstage, I could see him doing kind of being like a producer slash talent where maybe he's not used all the time if at this stage of his life, if he doesn't want to, I don't know with it, but we'll have to wait and see. He's also, though, who's to say you don't put a heater with him and give him a run and see what he can do over there?
See, I don't disagree with that entirely. It's just like it's like the Matt Cardona problem.
Yeah.
I respect everything he's done outside, especially putting himself in positions where he's going to really fuck up his body with those death masks.
Yeah.
He wanted to change how people perceive him, and I get that. But you bring him in and you try and put him on a certain level immediately, the fans might look at it as you're bringing down your promotion. So it's a tightrope walk. Look, it's not fair. None of this is fair. I mean, we know these guys are very good.
It's completely not fair. I agree. Right. And I'm a huge Cardona fan. And not only as a wrestler, just as a person, I love Matt.
Right.
And I think I know Matt well. And I've spoken to Matt about this personally. And it's just sad that, like, to me, like he could go in and he could change. Like, everybody wants him back as Ryder, and he doesn't want to go back as Ryder, you know? And that's a big issue that also he's having, right? Like, is like, he's not going to go back. He doesn't care about the money. Like, he's just like Big Guy in that way, where he's like, I don't care about the money. I love the life I'm living now. It's going to take more than money to get me back. You have to make sure that you let me keep my podcast. You have to let me, legal name, have some creative, you know. He went and he has
big guy was talking about the other day about how some wrestlers have too much of their copyrights and trademarks. He's one of those guys. He got everything trademarked.
Yeah.
Because it's that mistrust from WWE. And then when he tried to go get Zack Ryder because they had let it expire, he went and tried to get it. And they went at him for trying to get it. So he backed off because he's like, if I fight them, then
he would have what happened with me would have happened with him.
100%. And he's like, I'm not going to go through that because he still, you know, he doesn't, he wants to go back to New York. He wants to go back to the WWE. Yeah. Like, that's his plans. And he's not shy about it. He said, like, of course, I didn't dream about becoming an indie champion. I wanted it to be a WWE champion.
The problem is with this, and I'll tell you, it doesn't, not everything he's doing doesn't matter. This is what I'm trying to, EC3 learned this the hard way. You could go and do, you could do whatever you want. This is why none of this matters. You just got to, if they think of you a certain way or they're not, whatever, nothing's going to change. And this is, you either got to come to that realization or you take that gamble. And that's what it is, or, you know, that's what it is, unfortunately.
Big guy, what did Cody do different that it mattered for him?
I don't know that it does matter for him yet. I think, I still think that Cody's not going to win the championship. I still think that, I think that they will pay you as much money as they will to win eventually. He just he did the thing with Hunter on the pay-per-view of the throne, and he bought the trademarks and sold it back to them, which outsmarted them with it. Right. They will Vince and them will outplay you. I'm telling you with this. They had an opportunity for him to fulfill his dream at WrestleMania, and they chose not to.
You're right.
Everyone thinks I'm crazy. I know what they're doing with me. They did this with me because of the lawsuits. They let me get red hot and they pull me back. They let me make some money. They pulled me back. They know that would destroy Cody Rhodes mentally more than anything if he has to go his whole career and never won the WWE or World Championship.
Until he gets a championship, like you just totally blew my mind about this. Until he gets a championship, you are 100% right.
Yes. And it doesn't matter what he does because he can have all the success, but they know deep down, they know what his goal is. They knew my goal was the title. So what is the one thing they kept from me? They literally dangled it. They literally let me get my fingers on it at TLC to let me and told me to make sure I touch it. Like before this is what they do. You think Vince, everyone thinks I'm making all this stuff up. It's not.
I don't think you're
and I'm not saying, I've said it from the beginning. I want to clarify. I hope I'm wrong on Cody, but I just know what I know. And I'm just putting it out there that I think they would let him make millions of dollars and have success, but they know at the end of the day, if he retires and never wins the WWE title, they won.
It will kill him.
Yes. It will. Yes. They know. So that's
they
that.
Don't care about the money. They don't look at the money.
They don't.
Money.
They the money, they will pay you.
Mentally as winning.
Yes. It's a mental game. This is what I'm telling you guys.
Warfare. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So, and this is what Vince, what they're doing when I left. They thought, oh, I broke away. I'm free. Nope. We're going to latch onto your social media. It's a mental game with it. This is how they play. And this is, you're dealing with one of the most evil corporations and human beings. And so let's just wait
if he doesn't win that, that will be.
And Cody might get mad at me for saying that, but I've said it before. I just know enough to know how they play. Vince will literally fly to your house to make you feel like the most important person in the world so that he can get the last laugh.
Yep.
So
that honestly, big guy, if he doesn't win, you're absolutely right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. If he does win, honestly, then obviously we have to give him credit where credit's due.
Yeah, but like I said, I hope if I'm wrong on anything, I hope I'm wrong on that one for my sake.
We want Cody to win. It's not that we don't want Cody to win. You're just stating facts.
Yes. How he plays. So, and that's not to say if Vince gets cut away. I think another thing is if Vince eventually is gone, then it's somebody else's call. Then I still think I hold on to that with that. But if Vince is gone and then Cody eventually wins it a year or two down the road, I think it's different set of circumstances with different ownership. And but I think while Vince is there, if he never wins it, that is a very telling thing.
Yeah, I think when people saw how Cody killed the indies and crushed the indies and then helped open AEW and did the All In and they made their own, had their own promotion that was rival, some people say rivaling with WWE and you know, he was somebody that you could look up to and be like, wow, if I crush it on the indies, that could be me. But then Cardona does the same thing and look.
But so here's the difference. And I'm going to clarify that. So Cody didn't it wasn't killing it on the indies. Cody developed the relationships with a billionaire and other guys and started another promotion. What he was doing on the indies, he wasn't making the most money on the indies. He was going in for like 1500, 2K. I was getting double that on all my appearances. It wasn't, I was killing it on the indies with it financially with that, but keeping myself safe. Cody did a political play though. He booked himself well. He went in for lower money. He got himself booked with good quality matchups for him, having good star rating matches, if you will. And he got himself aligned with the Young Bucks, Omega, and Tony Khan.
Yep.
Nobody in history to his credit,
so that was the difference.
That's the difference. Cardona isn't aligned with any of that, so that's why I'm saying it. EC3,
you're right.
You can go have you're a right. run in another promotion and be their champion, make money and do well with it. But once you go back to that, you're back into the same place you were. That game of WWE with it all. Cody just went and he did something that's never been done before. So that's what he needs to get credit for. Cody didn't do anything on the indies that was that revolutionized the indies. They just went, he connected with the right guys and they started a new promotion.
You're right. Yeah.
Which is, you got to give him the credit for that. Like, I wish I could become friends with a billionaire and go start something. Like,
you guys remember though, hearing what Triple H's plan was to keep AEW off the ground at that time. Do you remember?
No.
So
I wasn't watching then.
Yeah. So what happened was Triple H offered the Young Bucks and Kenny multi-million-dollar deals, including investing in Kenny Omega's, I want to say, esports project.
Wow. So
the idea would have been, we'll sign you these big agreements, multi-million-dollar deals. We'll put Being the Elite on the WWE Network. And at the six-month point in your contracts, if you guys aren't happy, we'll let you out. The goal was get Tony and the Khan family to get away from starting this company.
Yeah.
And that was their whole goal. They never wanted Cody when Cody was available. And Cody was one of the last people, and I love Jericho to death. Jericho was just using Tony Khan as leverage until he found out Vince was not going to give him what he wanted.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason Jericho went to AEW. That is revisionist history. Whenever Jericho says, oh, I was all in on this, he wasn't. He was one of the last people to sign. So it was Cody. The Young Bucks were all in. Kenny was all in. And look, it worked out for everybody because Cody got to go to the stage he wanted to go on and be presented the way he wanted to be presented. Hopefully, again, and Ryback, to your point, I don't think you're wrong about any of that because business all said put the belt on Cody Mania. They didn't. And now Dwayne might come in, and this might be pushed to August or it might never happen, to your point.
Yeah. And where's he going to go from? You're running LA Knight's getting hot, and then before you know it, You're working in the mid card and you're not in that position and getting there. All the stars were aligned that night. There will never be a better circumstance than the night at WrestleMania for Cody to win. And I said that.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to bring up one more thing before I let you have an LA night. So Kevin Nash said, and I'm just waiting for him to claim he was just kidding, but Kevin Nash claims he talked to Triple H about LA Knight's contract.
Oh, yes.
The rumors out there.
I spoke about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rumors out there are that they're very far apart in money, which, again, is the same story about Drew McIntyre in WWE.
Yeah.
And apparently Triple H isn't too high on LA Knight. And this is just what I would wonder if you're LA Knight. Let's just say that they're not going to come any closer to your ask. Eventually, the company has you under control for another year and a half. They're either going to take you off TV or beat you into the ground.
Yep.
So Ryback, before I let you go, what do you think happens with that situation?
So I could tell you something. So he's in a very tough spot because if Vince ends up leaving with all of this, if that's going to be connected to this one way, and Hunter's not necessarily all in on you is with that. Hunter's as political as they come with that. And you got Endeavor now in, which we know how they control the fighters over at UFC and the pay with that. And so what they may be wanting is they may be wanting to get guys on lower downsides again and then they promise them with the merch and everything, but then your booking can go either direction at any time with that. It is a very touchy subject. He could at this point next year, he's either going to be the biggest thing they have or he's not, all this is going to be gone. I don't think unless he just goes hell with it, I'm going to sign a lower contract and trust you guys. But even then, if Hunter's not high on you with that, Hunter will find a way. If Vince eventually goes, you know, that booking will get adjusted unless his numbers are just so good that he can't be denied. But even then, like They would rather get their way than do what's absolutely best for business. They've done this time and time again because they're always making money. They found ways to make money in so many different ways. And they can always interchange different guys or push different guys and get revenue up a bit. Even if you are a guy and you're bringing in $10 million a month in revenue for the company, and guy number two, though, if he's using that position, might bring in $8.5 million, they might just look at, well, we could push another person and make up that 10. Like they're not really too concerned with that. I feel like sometimes with how much money they're bringing in all these other areas. I think it's the LA Knight thing is a very interesting development with it.
Mike, you're the man. Thanks for always coming on with the stuff. I need to hear about this big guy TikTok from last night. Yeah.
I'll let you guys go. It was a joy. And Sean, by the way, I think this is like the 12 jersey. I forget his name. I think he won 7 rings. I forget his name though. But apparently, now that he's gone, some people. And I went to the game Sunday. A lot of people are starting to look at a poor GM that doesn't know how to put a roster together. Interesting. It's interesting. I will let you guys go for now. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, Mike. Later, brother.
You too. Bye.
Shawnee, his mic cut out on my end. What did he say?
I didn't hear him either. He cut out on mine too. Yeah.
I heard something about a GM, and I didn't know what team he was.
Me neither. He cut out. I couldn't hear him.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
He let me go before I could ask him what it was, but we'll ask him when he comes on again.
Maybe it was the Jets. I don't know.
I love Mike and he has great stuff. I just wanted to get to this TikTok stuff.
Oh no, I know it was. I have him on every day. I love getting all the he has insight on all this stuff going on.
Yeah, it's good stuff for sure. It's good stuff.
So yesterday I go live on TikTok in the afternoon, and I'm doing the battles on there now. So I go live. And I get the people are in there. We let them share the TikTok live. Thank you for all the likes, by the way, and the gifts in here, guys. Always greatly appreciated for my TikTok live viewers. And we've got almost 500 people in here right now still. So I hit the battle button where it sends it out to you get random battles with like whoever, like the algorithm will just find, or they'll send out like an invite to a bunch of people and yep. Like whoever can accept it. So, but this is where they were saying, like, you never know what you're going to get. And boy, let me tell you, I wasn't expecting what I was about to get. So I accidentally had another guy. It was a kid that was asking me a question and I'd already sent the invite out, but I was going live on my live with somebody else. So then all of a sudden this, what appeared to be a woman pops up on the screen, and which the guy's attention that was, I was talking to the young kid, his attention like instantly went to the woman. In which he tried to start talking to the girl inside the TikTok live. And then I told him, I go, hey, I'm going to do a battle here. Is it all right? He let himself out of there. And the woman, what appeared to be a woman, was in there. And I started, as she's talking, and I couldn't tell right away, like with it. But like the chat, there were a lot of comments in the chat that's a guy, that's a man, it's a boy. And the chat wouldn't stop. So like, I'm trying to like not be rude. I don't know entirely like as this is going on. And so how do you ask somebody? So like we're going and like we're in a battle. So now I'm in an 8-minute commitment with this person that like you have to do the 5-minute battle and then 3 minutes. So like I'm now, I just go, I have to know. I can't keep talking. Like, I don't know how to carry this conversation. I just go, are you a biological woman? And I just ask point blank, in which the person, they go, well, I am now. And like kind of gave me a look and I go, oh, okay. So then we're like I know I'm trapped in like an escape room with no key anywhere in the room. And I'm like trying to like figure out like how do I keep this going? Like, what do I, the chat is just having a field day, like, with this all going on. So then I'm trying to make small talk. And like the first, I was like, I'm like, just don't say anything stupid. Like, hey, how's it hanging? Or like, don't like just make normal conversation. So of course, me with my personality, I go, have you ever seen Ace Ventura? In which they go, no. And I'm like, oh, it's a great movie. It's a comedy. You should really watch it. And like, she's completely clueless to what I'm talking about. And I go, yeah, Dan Marino from the Miami Dolphins was in there. And I go, and then Jim Carrey. And I go, Einhorn, Finkel. Finkel was Einhorn. Einhorn was Finkel. And like, she's just like looking at me so confused. And I, bro, but then it was, so that was my battle number one with that. That happened. Great person. Sweet.
John said that she laughed and it went from like a woman's voice to a man's voice.
No, that was later on. This was another person. So yes, I had two in one day. So then we get through that. I do the show. I do the live. Everything's great. Later on at night, I go, I'm going to do another like 45 minute live on there. And I'm going to do a battle or two. Somebody sends me a request to do a battle. So it had to have been a fan kind of like trolling with it,
yes.
But it was. So what appeared to be a woman from the Philippines that looked like artificial intelligence, kind of like did not look real. They pop up on my screen for the battle. And I'm like, I go, oh, I kind of know right away something's not right with this situation. And I go, hey, you want a battle?
It was like AI or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what it was. You have to, if you watched it, you know what I'm talking about. And then they have a girl's voice, what appears to be a woman's voice. And we're like, so we go, now we do a battle, and I'm locked into another 8 minute commitment with this. And then, but before we, as we hit the battle thing, they switch their voice, which is a heavy man's voice on it.
And God.
The battle has been initiated already. So now I know that I'm in battle number two with Einhorn for the day on here on TikTok with it. And brother, it was like,
holy shit.
They were from the Philippines visiting Texas for some reason for the week. I won that battle, by the way. I won the battle, just so everybody, and I appreciate all the gifters on it. But brother, TikTok, you don't know what you're gonna get on there. It's literally, it's like playing Russian roulette. And then you get locked in, but you're locked in for 8 minutes, a 5 minute battle, and then a 3 minute go home, like where you get to celebrate. And like, you can't go anywhere. You're like just in there staring at each other. And like, I don't know. And she kept wanting to give me kisses. She go, can I give you kisses? I go, no, I don't know you. And then she was getting sad. And I go, look, no means no. I'm not like, I'm not, you know, I don't know you. I don't.
Holy shit. Are you a biological?
What else am I? I don't know how else. I just remember Val always saying, hello, biological ladies. Needed Val Venus. Where were you, Val?
Sure. Where were you, pal? Come on, man.
But like, it was, I tell you, like,
that is amazing.
I battled a guy near Stamford, Connecticut, who looked kind of like Post Malone a little bit, who was all tattooed up. He just goes on freestyle raps. He literally. Bro, the guy, I'm glad he didn't like ask me to battle rap him, because I didn't know what I was like. I would have like done like a 3, 4, or 5 line spit and thinking I'm like something like I'm king shit of TikTok. And then this guy goes on like a 2.5 minute rap, just freestyling with doing the beat, everything. I'm just like, holy hell. And I go, bro, amazing with it. Like, but I go, I gave him, can you do one? I gave him words. I gave him Feed Me More, The Big Guy, Feeding Time, and That's the Last Bite. And he did another 2.5 minute rap and worked all of those into the rap.
That is very cool. So I like stuff like that.
TikTok though, like a guy, he goes, TikTok changed his life because he was homeless and poor. And he said like, and I don't know if he was into drugs and or is and like, but he clearly is one of those people though that has like, he says he's constantly just working on raps. I followed him. I'm going to do more lives with him. Like,
that's awesome.
But he gets paid now. He gets paid for his performances on TikTok now, and it's changed his life.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you said, big guy, me and you could go versus other people? Like, is that how it works?
Yeah. So two people popped up. They sent me an invite, and it was two of them on a screen. And I go, oh, whoa, we're doing a three-way? And they go, they go, no, do you have a partner? And I go, oh my God, I need Shawnee. And I looked in the thing and I go, so they do two screens and two screens where it would be me and you versus the other. It was this guy and a girl on it. And so that you can do teams on battling where I don't know if I give you just split everything, how it works, but.
Oh, my bro, we got to do it tonight. We got
to
do it.
I just picture you just switching to the blowfish on it. Is it just going?
I put that picture in the comments, actually, the guy.
Oh, I got to go look. It was so good.
And I also put, remember when soda, I thought about this today and I put the picture in there. Remember when you used to win like free sodas from the cap? Like when we
yeah.
were younger, what happened to that, man? Like I used to get so excited when I would open up the whatever it was, and then you always looked under the cap to see if you won or lost. And then if you won, you got a free soda, you know?
That was Mountain Dew, I remember. All of them, they had it like on the yeah, dude, I just retweeted that. I remember that.
Did you see the picture of me with the face?
Dude, I retweeted it as well. You want to know what you know what I miss is, remember the McDonald's Monopoly game?
Yes, they don't have that anymore.
They have, I don't remember them having that in a long time.
Somebody, do you know that there's a whole documentary out there, big guy, on that, that people were cheating on it?
Wait, really?
Like there was like a whole, let me find it for you. It was like a mafia, they were cheating and winning,
I got a super chat I got to read real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's
super chat.
Chance Grows Biz says, I have respect for trans women. The surgery takes balls.
No.
Jesus. Got another super chat here.
Oh, my God.
From Gabby Hiralu says, any good memories with Damian Sandow? Yeah, man, we came up together from OVW on. He was he's one of those guys I thought he could have done a lot more for the company. Great human being, very funny, very entertaining, great wrestler. And we came up together very close periods with Damian Sandow and Ryback on the main roster. And we talked a lot when I was up there. We talk occasionally still. And he's a great human being.
Okay, it was, I got it, big guy. I'm going to copy the link and put it in. It was a Netflix documentary called McMillions. It examines the $24 million worth of fraud that corrupted the McDonald's Monopoly game between 89 and 2001. There were no legitimate million-dollar winners in this contest. Throughout the 6 episodes, the documentary introduces the FBI and other legal authorities who investigated the Monopoly game, and they basically show you how they did it, and like it's insane. I'm gonna put anybody that's interested, I'm gonna put it right now in the comments.
Wow!
But yeah, it was mob related. I watched it, and it's called McMillions. I just posted.
You said that's on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Yes. I'm gonna have to watch that.
And it was literally like every year. So the person who ran the game, they were involved with the mafia somehow, and they end up getting their family members to win over and over and over. Whoa. Like different family members, and that they would split it or whatever, like a certain way. And then somehow they got caught, and they won $24 million off of it.
Yeah. See, that's one of those things that if they would have just done that one or two times and never brought it back, that they might have got away with it. That game got brought back quite a bit, so they clearly, and when no people aren't coming out winning, or you know what I mean, with somebody eventually, yeah. it like if you would have done that just once, and like this is where crime, where these people they don't just do it once, they go back to the well over and over and over again, and then if you don't have people coming out as winners, you're like saying they're able to connect the dots essentially on all that.
That's the thing. It's like you're 100% right, and it ruins it for everybody else. Like,
but they must have made, because I remember going there specifically just to get more of those, to like, because like you would win the different prizes along the way, or win a free Big Mac.
Yep. No, you're right.
But you're spending like an extra $100 a month on McDonald's for Big Macs and fries and free fries and a Coke when you're like, for the odds of the whole thing of hitting it big, and you're just like, you've got all this extra weight, high blood pressure and cholesterol, and yeah, you want a few free Big Macs along the way, but
yeah, imagine thinking that like you're like all those years that it was rigged from 1989 to 2001, and they, how many extra Big Macs and stuff were bought to try to win, and it was all rigged.
Yeah, brother, I bet you that it's, oh, I want a piece of that $24 million. I spent a little bit on those along the way.
There's a YouTuber. He's on Kick now. But his name is Aiden Ross. He's like one of the big, one of the biggest streamers in the world. Big guy. And tonight he's claiming that he's gonna have Kim Jong Un on his live stream.
What?
I swear to God, I don't know how. And like people don't know if he's being truthful or not. But he's claiming that he'll have Kim Jong Un on his stream tonight.
Holy hell.
And people are going nuts, like, is this real? And he wasn't laughing or anything when he said it. And he said it over and over, like, saying, come make sure you watch the stream tonight. So that should be interesting.
The lives are, I'm telling you, I was just scrolling on the TikTok lives watching how everybody, it's crazy the things people are doing. But, like, the people are getting gifts. But, like, I was like, I need to do a live. I'm going to just go. I have the shirt still that I did that Ruffles chip video in. That's like my identity for the chip meme. I'm just going to do a live one night. I'm going to go get a big bag of Ruffles and I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to eat chips slowly looking into
that's
the camera
smart.
And let people relive the meme. And I can see like, cause I look the same pretty much and have the shirt and the Napoleon Dynamite was the inspiration for that. Seeing Napoleon, who's still friends with Pedro to this day, doing lives as Napoleon. I'm going to relive the pandemic days with people and bring them back and just do like a 45-minute live eating Ruffles.
That and no words.
No words. Literally just eating chips, staring at the camera, and let people gift me how they want.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That would be probably one of the biggest dreams that you do.
I'll eat. I might even go get a few bags of chips just if it takes a while so I can keep it going if it's great. I'll just do a little extra cardio and a longer fast the next day. They'll make that like. But people that like, I was like, oh, I'm going to relive the chip meme, I think, for these seeing this. Like,
oh my God, I could totally.
But that's like what people do, though. Like, people that have played roles, I was like, that's like me. Like, if I just threw on my wrestling gear and just had the camera set up where it's just me, and I literally for an hour just like do feed me more, acting like I'm in the middle of the ring, but just reliving my glory days in my kitchen. And then, like, looking, doing my entrance, and people just watching, like, oh my God, that was my favorite guy, bro. And it's just Ryback being Ryback for an hour. People knew how much you make doing that. No, but the chip one I would do, the Ryback one I wanted. That would be, I've got more pride for myself than that.
The chip one is good.
The chip one is good because it's perfect to be right in the camera and it's.
Yes, yes. And like you said, a lot of those TikTokers know you from the chip video.
Yeah.
You know?
So
it'll ring their minds up a little bit.
Trade some chips for coins.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
For diamonds, whatever it is that they have.
Yeah, the cowboy hat and stuff like that.
Bro, I never understood. I didn't even know. I had coins. I have coins in my TikTok, I think, from advertising stuff, money left over I had that I hadn't used. And I was like, I had 274 coins. So I gave a hot chick a donut yesterday that I follow. It cost me 30 coins. I literally gave her a donut. She didn't even acknowledge it. And I was like, oh, that's.
Oh, my God. I gave her a little donut.
It was a donut. She wanted a protein. She literally wanted somebody to cash app her for a protein shake. So I was like, oh, I'll just give you a donut on here.
She actually said that? Bro.
Yeah.
She was like.
Dude, hot chicks get whatever they want. They're like, somebody buy me a protein shake. Somebody cash at me. And then
whoever sent that money, I like, honestly, I hope they leave like the world because that is just like sending people money for nothing, for doing nothing but being hot. Like,
yeah, bro, that's what girls on there do on the lives. They don't even interact with the people. They just sit there.
Yeah, they're like, oh my God, look at my boobs.
But they don't even talk though. They just look at the camera and people just gift them. They're literally just on camera. They get all done up and be hot and they just get paid. I'm like, this is, we are living in a crazy.
We were biologically born the wrong way.
Oh my God.
Imagine if I just went naked on there. Imagine what it would happen.
Well, you wouldn't be able to. You would have to be in something that would be. But if you, you'd have to be. If you went on there on the Speedos and lugs, like that would be. I would imagine you had shoes on with it. That would pass the algorithm.
What if Jeff Primitive like makes me like an Indian outfit, and then I like, you know how the Indians like back in the day, like the Native Americans, how they wear like just a cover on their crotch, you know?
Yes.
Like, what if I did something like that? Like,
brother,
that would be huge.
What we can do is we can do a live. What we do is we do a pill. I'm 2%. I've got a small amount of Native American Indian in me. I will get an Indian outfit on Amazon. You get a pilgrim outfit, and I will literally just do reenact. You like just go. All we just the same thing. You just continue to say, "I'm here. Give me your land." And I'll say, "No, no, 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 no." And we'll just do that over and over for an hour straight.
That would be the Thanksgiving one. We'll do Thanksgiving
special because we're gonna do a special Halloween edition one, and then we'll
Halloween and Thanksgiving. We'll do one each. I swear to God, big guy, I would dress up for you on there if you wanted to do like a Halloween thing. I would do it.
People, that would be huge. I would actually. What did we say we were gonna get the outfits for the Halloween one?
Yeah, what did the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? That's what it was.
Yeah, you were gonna be Michelangelo eating pizza, and I was gonna be Master Shredder, not Master Splinter, but Shredder.
Shredder. Yeah. Super Shredder. Super Shredder.
Super Shredder.
Kevin Nash.
Just doing battles all night as Ninja Turtles versus Shredder.
Do you know that Kevin Nash played Super Shredder? Yeah. Do you know how he got that part? Did you ever hear it?
I don't know. What? How?
So he explained it on his podcast. So one day he was at WWE, and he was leaving the arena after after like a big pay-per-view.
I think you told me this before.
And I don't think I told you. No, I don't think I did.
Well, okay, go ahead. Then let me.
Maybe you heard it somewhere. Maybe
yeah, I might have heard it. I thought he was walking out on WCW pay-per-view, and somebody said something, or then he ended up having a conversation with him.
The director.
Yeah.
Waited for him and saw him and was like, "Oh my God, who's that guy?"
Yeah.
So he ran over to him and was like, "Would you play Super Shredder?" And that's how he got the role.
Wow.
Because of his height and everything, and like how
Jackie is in shape, like,
bro.
Yeah.
He's like, when you see, I've seen Big Kev, an older version of Big Kev. I never saw him when he was younger, but even as an older guy, he's intimidating.
Yeah, he's huge. Know? He's legit huge. Almost 7 feet tall, and he's like, he's built, man. He's like, he's in shape.
Yeah, and he's like how we were talking about, like, appropriate. Like, his body is, like, all appropriate. Like, he doesn't have skinny legs or, like.
Yeah, that's what, even people that think, because his legs are so long, his legs might look thinner, like, on TV or something compared to other people. When you see him in person, though, his legs are as big as any, like, he's a huge guy.
He's huge.
He's big boned, like, his frame. He has wide shoulders. His arms are huge. Like, he's a monster, man.
Yep, 100%.
We were together. 100%. I weighed more than him when we went to Bio Accelerator in Columbia. And I was even a little smaller than I'd been, but I was still heavier than him. But he looks like he's enormous. He looks bigger because he's just so damn big and tall. And, like, just it's crazy on all
That's
of that.
That's insane, man. Yeah. That's insane.
But,
you want to take some calls, big guy? You want me to leave? What do you want me to do?
I was gonna wrap up for the day. I felt like Mike. We give the good wrestling fix, a little entertainment with the TikTok.
Totally up to you.
Save my voice for the TikTok lives tonight.
For the TikToks, yeah, guys, make sure you join the TikToks. It's really fun, man. It's like an extension of the Ryback Show, but you get to see us on video, which is really cool.
It literally is what people understand. Like, so for me, it's good. You get to interact and I get to talk to people. Then you go do the battles. One, it's very lucrative on that end, but it's an extension of the show. It's free publicity for the show on that as well.
Yep.
I met a girl yesterday who we're friends, and like, you get a team assembled for the battles, but essentially I could, like, I'm going to do more health and fitness stuff on there as well. And not just talk, like, but it kind of depends on what questions people have as well on that. But I always get supplement sales when I go live on there. It's literally just, it's free marketing on the platform on it, and on top of being fun. So.
Did you know that there's a TikTok shop, big guy? I saw Cardona was putting cards in the TikTok shop.
No.
There's a shop that you, so he was, my man Herm runs Matt's TikTok, and he did this for him yesterday, and they did like a special card that they released on TikTok only, and there's a way that you can sell your stuff inside of TikTok.
Oh yeah, yeah, I've got all my supplements I've got my shop set up for Feed Me More Nutrition on there.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yes.
I can't I'm at Feed Me More Nutrition. That's my business page on TikTok. And I've got those across all the socials, but on my my account, I can't put the business account because then I would lose access to, like, to the different music and stuff. Like, got that, it. But I actually, now that I'm doing the different content on there, I could look over to switching it on to my main page because I'd get way more traction on there. I might have to look into
it. Make sure you're promoting it there because it shows up in your shop.
Yeah, on my that might not be a bad idea now that I switched over to the content that I'm doing on there now, where I don't need the music as much.
You're gonna have people looking at your page a lot, right?
So yeah,
that would be something to do, and you'll probably get a lot of eyes on it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, but it pays off doing that on all accounts and the battles. It's I'm telling you, for people though that don't know, and I told like other girls that I know or people that like have businesses, I go, if you devote like the time online, like you would to like a real job, the amount of money though you make on here is astronomical when you do it the right way. Like people are making six figures a month on TikTok lives.
Yep.
And not saying that it's not everyone, but there's, if you figure out a formula that works for you, it is very, very like.
I bought a pack of cards yesterday, big guy, and I opened them on the TikTok live. That was my first live I ever did.
Okay.
And I had over 250 people watching at one time. And then, and I only was on for like 10 minutes. I opened the cards and then I got off. But like, it was cool. Like I got like over 1,000 likes. And
that's
like,
great. That's actually, but that's how, if you do that every day, like did something, you would build a following on there really quickly. And that's
I agree.
But that's where like, or you go live with somebody or like you pop on occasionally. It really, that's why I was telling one of the other girls, she does motivational stuff and she's a life coach and she works a regular job still until it gets going. But I told her, I go, she was like uncomfortable, like doing lives. I go, you have to do lives. I go, yeah, it's literally, you're selling your business to them by talking to people. You help people for free on there. And I go, people are going to buy your courses if you give them good advice with it. And absolutely. I go, you're also going to make revenue from the platform that is way better than anything you could do going and working for somebody else if you devote the right time to it. So,
yep. All right, big guy. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for always having me on, man.
Likewise. Thank you, brother. It was a pleasure.
Have a great day. I'll see you tonight. Let me know when you're going on.
I'll shoot you. I'll try to give you some notice before I go so you have a little time.
Yeah. I would love that. And then we'll go cream some people.
Perfect.
Later, big guy.
Take care, buddy. Thank you. Good deal. The big sausage. Thank you very much. Mike, the wrestling informant, thank you very much for your time as well today. A lot of interesting news on the Ryback show today. With that, some things I did not know even, you know, as we went in today's show. So, you guys, thank you for all the love and support. Your iTunes reviews, if you've got a moment to leave an iTunes reviews on there, star rating and write a review. And Feed Me More Nutrition on feedmemore.com. I've got all the Ryback merch. We have t-shirts, tank tops, long shirts, hooded sweaties, guys. Hooded sweaties, sweatshirts with it, beanies, workout accessories, and the best supplements on the planet, feedmemore.com. We've got a late super chat squeezing in. Trujillo Ideando, Ryback, can you please send a shout out to my niece? It will really mean a lot. She just got an ACL surgery this morning. Her name is Natalie Garza. Natalie, I hope everything is going well, that surgery went well, and a very speedy recovery. I hope that you try to just keep a positive mindset as much as possible. Go one day at a time. Find things in the day to keep you happy one day at a time. And just realize that it's going to get better one day at a time. You're going to get a little better and a little better and a little better. But just kind of keep the things in your day that put you in a good mood for right now. And just keep an optimistic mindset. And it's all going to be all right with that. Best of luck, Natalie. Thank you very much, Trujillo. With that, guys, we're going to wrap up. I thank you guys once again. Until next time, my friends, stay hungry. Feed me more.
Hey, Rybackers, don't forget to hit that like button, smash that subscribe, and shell shock those notifications for the best supplements on the planet with Feed Me More Nutrition and all the latest cool new Ryback merch. Visit feedmemore.com.